Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
Welcome to this Minutes of Truth radio broadcast. My name is Paul Adams. Mark Schatz is here, and we are studying together in the Word of God. We are beginning in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Mark, last time when we left off, we talked a little bit about how we are to respect the civil authorities. When we made that point, do you think there are some limitations of the respect that we are to show for the civil authority?
Yeah, we briefly mentioned that we're to submit to the government, the civil authorities, this passage tells us, in all ways that we can. And we mentioned Acts chapter 5, verse 29 last week, and that's where Peter tells the Sanhedrin that we must obey God rather than men. And that doesn't mean that we just obey God and what man says does not matter. That establishes a hierarchy, that we have to obey God first, but then in all things that do not violate God's will that the government might require of us, that we need to submit to that, and that would glorify God in the sense of people would see how we're living and see what we're doing. But if the government ever passed something that violated God's will, then Acts 5:29 and other passages teaches us that we cannot submit to the government in that we have to submit to God first in those things that he has specified and that he requires, those things that are his will. But in all other things, we should be submissive to the human institutions, the government, the governance that God has established.
So if the government says that some things are okay, that the Bible clearly condemns, we have to listen to God and not men. I think you said that very well, Mark. Mark's going to read for us in a moment 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. And as we read that, I would have you remember that what we've been observing is that there is an emphasis on what people see us do and the influence it has on them. Not necessarily what they hear us say, but what they see us do and the kind of influence our actions have. Mark, if you would read 1 Peter 2, 17 through 20.
17 starting says, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if, when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God."
As we look here, he begins with some short commands about all people, the brotherhood, God, the king. And why would we want to honor all people? Well, when we think about that, we realize that mankind is made in the image of God. We bear part of him in our way in which we are created, that we are worthy, we are valuable of honor. Mark, should we honor people who are not very honorable?
Yeah, this passage plainly tells us that we're to honor all people. I'm thinking about some things. Some people may say, well, they're not very honorable, so I don't have to honor them. But that's not what this passage says. We need to see the value in all people, like God saw the value in all of us. I wrote down some passages earlier and was thinking about that. Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it talks about how Christ died for the ungodly, that Christ saw value in even the ungodly and died for them. And then in verse 8 of Romans 5, it talks about, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We can approach this honoring all people in that way, that even somebody who's not honorable, and to keep it in the immediate context even, we can get down here and talk about a master who's unreasonable. That person certainly would not necessarily be honorable, but yet we're to show respect and to honor to someone like that.
That's right. And as we look at that, he says to honor all people. At the end, he says honor the king. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are the greatest shining example of righteousness, but they have a position that ought to be valued and respected. He uses a different word for the brotherhood, fellow Christians. He uses the word love, a more intense word, a more personal word. But we also see that he uses the word fear toward God, that God is to have the ultimate respect above all people, above even the brotherhood, above the king, that we respect God and what he says. Now, Mark, you brought us down to servants and masters here and how servants serve, how they work under their masters. What kind of worker ought a Christian to be?
A Christian ought to be the finest example of a diligent, trustworthy worker that there could ever be. They should work for their masters, the Bible tells us, as though they were working for Christ. Here in verse 18, he talks to the servants. He says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect." And as we continue reading through there, you'll see that that's to good masters. And that's also to masters who are not good, not honorable. They're unreasonable. He says not only to those who are good and gentle. Everyone would love to have a master that was good and gentle and would happily serve them. But some masters truly are unreasonable, he says. And even when they're unreasonable, you are to serve with respect and submission.
That doesn't always seem fair, but there's a theme here. Wrongful suffering. Suffering even when it seems like the person is gaining an advantage over you because they're treating you bad even though you keep treating them good. But that is something that we find is a characteristic of a Christian, someone who serves, someone who does their best in every situation. They honor all people. They love the brotherhood. They fear God. They honor the king. And here we see that that's illustrated, I think, with servants and masters. Now, as we look down through here, we've looked at how we behave under a government, whether it's cruel and oppressive or whether it is all that God would want it to be, how we behave in the brotherhood, how we behave in our work relationships. Mark, in verse 20, it talks to us about sometimes we may suffer for doing what's wrong and sometimes we suffer for doing what's right. What is the contrast you see there?
All right, if you look here, in verse 19, he says, "For this finds favor." And then down at the end of verse 20, it says, "This finds favor with God." And there's a good concept that's bookmarked between there of finding favor with God. And you look at that, and he talks about in verse 19, "This finds favor if for the sake of a conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly." There's the unjust suffering that we looked at. If you're patient and you endure that, that finds favor with God. But then he mentions a situation where bearing up under harsh treatment doesn't necessarily get you any credit, if you want to look at it that way. It says in verse 20, "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience?" When we sin and we receive consequences for that and we're harshly treated for that, maybe it's the government that is set in order for the punishment of evildoers by God, we should just expect to be harshly treated when we sin, and we don't get any credit or we don't find any favor with God when we endure that with patience. But he says, wrapping up verse 20, he says, "But if when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." And the interesting thing in these passages is it's presented from God's viewpoint, as though God is watching over us and he sees us. There's the type of person that sins and they get the treatment they deserve. They're punished as evildoers. That doesn't gain any favor with God. But when you're trying to do what's right and live what's right, and you're being slandered against, and you're being treated harshly, and you're being persecuted, or God sees that, and that causes him to look upon you with favor.
That's right. And as we look at this, this is very, very practical and very personal. What kind of person, we might ask ourselves, I'll ask myself, you ask yourself, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person who is submissive? Are you the kind of person who honors the government, who honors other Christians, who honors God, fears God, honors people? The way in which you treat people, does that come shining through? Here, it's very clear as we look and we see these principles that if we suffer for wrongdoing, that there's no honor in that. But God is pleased when we just do what's right, even when others treat us poorly. Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate you studying along. We'll pick up next time in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. And we enjoy studying through the Word of God. We benefit from it when we apply it to our lives so that we can be found pleasing to God. Come and study with us again next time as we look at a few more minutes of truth.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.